if I remember correctly, that was kind of the norm in those days. I couldn't tell you when Ralph started at the station. I couldn't tell you when Martin started the station, but I remember that Jerry was there definitely before me, because I started volunteering and hanging out, and Kenge Zola was there before me. She had a show. In fact, one of the questions she asked me at one point, which I thought was really kind of odd, because it was like the same thing with, you know, there was a jazz station in town. WJZZ was playing quote unquote jazz music, and she had a program and she played jazz on it. And so when she found out that I had a program, and she said, yeah, but there's five rock stations or four rock stations in town. I said, yeah, but none of them play this kind of stuff. You know, none of them play these, you know, underground bands. And she looked at me like it all sounds the same to her. You know, that was the whole thing. And that was the weird part about it was that a lot of people didn't understand that at the time, the Stranglers and the Sex Pistols and, you know, bands like the Yachts and all these other bands, nobody sounded like Journey or Foreigner or the shit that was being played on Riff, Wheels. In fact, I don't think Wheels was even on the air at that point. Riff, ABX, LD4, and CJOM, just before CJOM went south. So when you took a band like, whatever it was, you know, the Pistols, it's just, they use them as the example. The Pistols already done, but nobody had ever played them on the radio. So if they ever got played on DET, it didn't sound like any of these other bands. So when, and Ken Gazzola said, what's the deal? It's like, it was painful to me that we had way more explaining to do than anything else, you know, about the roots of the MC5 and the Stooges and the bands that were happening in Detroit at the time, the Cold Cocks of the world and the Sillies and, you know, the early punk scene in Detroit. We had more explaining to do than just here's a bunch of music. And that's when I started doing massive amounts of flyering. I used to take, kind of like probably some of the first of those little micro dot computers, printers back in the day. And I went, I can't remember where I was working at the time. I was probably working at Visual Concepts. And I remember taking a computer and just printing out. So the whole background of the paper was names of, the flyer was names of bands. And it was everything that, you know, I'd gotten my hands on at that point. Like all the underground stuff from Britain and the U.S., the Dead Kennedys, you know, you name it. And that was the whole background of the flyer. And then we just put on the top of it, radios in motion. And then we put the hours that it was on, depending on what era it was in. And I'd have to go to the punk bars, go to Bookies and go to the Red Carpet and everybody else in Nunzio's, every place else that was, you know, having these underground bands play, and hand these flyers out to get people to listen to it, because radio in those days was extremely linear. People would tape the shows, but nobody had an automatic taping machine. You had to sit there next to your stereo and press, you know, play and record at the same time. You couldn't just leave your house and know that when you came back, the show was going to be on tape. There was no VCRs at that point that would do that type of thing for radio, you know? So that was the thing. But Dimension, Morphogenesis, which was the program that Judy Adams ran, I used to listen to that religiously because I was driving a car around Detroit delivering film at the time. That's how I kind of got into radio when I first got back from England. I got a driving job for a film company, and I'd pick up the dailies first thing in the morning, the rushes, dailies, whatever you want to call them, take them down to the film lab, and then later in the afternoon I'd have to pick them up when they were souped and done. And I would always get stuck on the freeways, you know, anywhere between 3 and 5 or so when she was on the air, and listen to her program. And every once in a while she would play The Residents or some, you know, alternative type band. And even that word wasn't even out. She'd play those bands every once in a while. And I was like, God, I should just go work there, get my own show. And that was the thing that John O'Leary, because I used to yell at him every night or every day he was on the radio, I'd call him and go, why aren't you playing these bands? He was like, just get your own show, Halloran, or Mike, as he calls me. Get your own show, Mike. And I was like, I'll just get my own show. Fuck these people. I'm going to get my own show. So I went to Specs Howard and 77, and that was the you know, I think I started driving in 76, summer of 76 when I got back from school in England. And that was the whole thing. It was listening to DET that sparked me thinking, oh, I can get my own show here. It sounds like anybody can have a show. Cause that was the deal. There was so many fucking shows on that station that anybody could go. It seemed to me, of course, it took me a year or so to get it.